How to Stop Reacting and Start Loving, Episode 84. Welcome to the Awaken You podcast, where we break down relationship barriers by awakening your true you. I'm Coach Christine, and the two of us will be doing this work together because this process isn't about changing your partner. It's about discovering who you are so you can awaken you in your marriage. Well, welcome back to the podcast, everyone. This week, I have a live recording from this month's Marriage Masterclass, and it was the best yet. You guys must go sign up for next month's Marriage Masterclass, and as a matter of fact, sign up for the last three months of the year, the last quarter of the year. Use these in your monthly practice. They will be so good and so profound in your marriage relationship, I am telling you. So what I want to do before we dig into the episode, I want to check in with you. Remember, I am using this weekly podcast to check in with where you are at with your monthly goals. And if you haven't set anything this month as a goal, then use this week's podcast as your practice for the month and watch how your marriage dynamic changes. If you've been following along and you have something you're working on, then I want you to pause, take 10, 15 minutes tonight to ask yourself a few questions. What have you been doing well? What has been working with the plan that you set up for this month to work in your relationship with yourself or your relationship with your partner? And then put three things down. And then what hasn't been going so well? What would you like to improve? And then with that, decide what you're going to do this coming week to be more active in moving forward with your goal. And with that, let's dig in. So welcome everybody, whether you are joining via Zoom or joining via Facebook. Hello, hello. Welcome to September's Marriage Masterclass. So much fun. Like I said earlier, I feel like it is so late in the month. I'm used to doing these the second Thursday of the month. This is the third Thursday of the month. How is that even? I don't even know. But this month, we are going to be talking about how to change your marriage while not including your spouse in the work. And if you're interested in hearing a success story about somebody who did that, go check out my podcast episode this week. It's all about a woman, another coach actually, who did the work and did it all on her own, and she shares her story. This month, we're going to talk about getting out of being reactive, our typical go-to reactions when our partner is doing or saying something that we don't love, and learning how to step into love. As always, all of the things that I share can be also utilized in any other relationship. But the truth is that these reactions that we have in our marriage, they're reactions that we have in other relationships, but they're not as inflamed or as amplified, I guess I would say, as they are in our intimate relationship. And that is because it is our intimate relationship, because we have a close connection that feels a little risky, right? We protect ourselves more in that relationship. So let me start with a welcome. I already shared what we're talking about. We're going to talk about how these reactions have us moving away from, you know what, the love that we really want to be having and sharing in our relationship. And then just learning also the first steps to change how we react to our partners so that we can show up differently. And as we keep practicing, actually being able to show up in love. And the process is quite magical, because I remember when I first started implementing this process, and when I got to the point where I was able to actually pause and not react and just be conscious of what was going on, how he was reacting, it was like magical. It was like somebody sprinkled magic dust in the room, because it totally diffused whatever was going on. In particular, I remember, I don't even remember the, he said something. I remember we were in the bedroom, but it was like a Saturday morning. We were maybe cleaning or making the bed. I don't know. He said something that I caught myself and I caught it in my body. I just watched it. And it totally diffused. It was truly amazing. Introductions. I'm Chris Bongiovanni, Christine Bongiovanni. I am a marriage and relationship coach. I am a love coach. I help both individuals and couples find the courage and inspiration to change their marriage without their partner being involved. And obviously, when I'm helping couples, both are working on it. Sometimes one more than the other, though, right? Sometimes the other isn't all in on the work. And so today I'm going to help you do that by moving forward with this work of what we have been doing every month in our marriage masterclasses. Now, if you have not joined a marriage masterclass before, if this is your first time, please go back and listen to, I have been doing one every month this year. I will continue through the end of the year. And to be 100% honest, I am not sure that I'm going to continue these classes next year. What I'd like to help you do today is I'm going to help you identify what sets you off in what sets you off into being reactive. And what is it that your spouse does or says that has you shutting down, confronting with anger, resentment, or going against your inner truth by smoothing everything over by with people pleasing? Maybe, like I said, maybe it has you shutting down. And after we identify your triggers, because you're going to actually start doing this work today in this class, and what your reactions are, I'm going to help you understand your reactions so that you can start showing up differently in a way that will make you feel better inside, as well as getting more of what you want in your relationship, which for most of us, we all want something different. But for most of us, we want more love, more connection, more intimacy, right? So finally, after all of that, what I'm going to share, which I do in every marriage masterclass, everything we do every month, we do something different. And I do this work right along with you, right? Because I'm doing the work of improving my marriage as at the same time as you are. What I have loved about these monthly classes, which could motivate me to continue doing them next year, I'm not sure, probably not. I love these monthly classes because it gives me something different every month to work on in my daily practice, right? So I will share three action steps at the end of the class for you to take this month. And I highly recommend that that be your monthly work. At the end of the month, not the end of September, by the next marriage masterclass, you'll have been practicing for 4 weeks, and you are going to see a significant change in how you and your spouse are communicating, including feeling closer and more attracted to them. So no matter how you're feeling about how you and your spouse communicate about your differences, I'm so glad you're here. Few tips to help you get the most out of today's class. Turn off any notifications if you can. Get yourself in a quiet space where you can really focus. Turn up the volume, maybe put your earbuds in, like I did, so that I don't hear the dogs and my husband and whatever is going on outside of me. Grab paper and pencil, paper and pen or pencil to take any notes. But I do want to share for those of you who did register for the class, I mostly want you to sit back and listen and engage as much as you can so that you can get the most out of this class, because I am going to share the slides with you. Okay. So if you've registered and you are on the email list, I have your email list. You will get an email after this class with a link to the replay, which I highly recommend that you watch, and the PDF of all of the slides that I share with you. So you don't have to take screenshots or try to write everything down. Another couple ways to get the most out of this class is to submit questions when you register. Okay, I give you space, and we have one person, actually two people, I'm sorry, who asked questions. So I will get to those at the end. Thank you. Participate in the comment section so I can speak specifically to what each of you are struggling with in your own relationship, because we're all different. We all have different experiences, different people that we're married to. Volunteer to get coached towards the end when the opportunity comes up. And then at the end of the class, I'm also going to share how you can book a free mini coaching session to help you with this work that we're working on this week, or any specific struggle. All right. So with that, are you ready? So I've got, I'm happy to be here to learn with you. Super tired and finishing a project. I'm in a different time zone and usually miss your classes, but loving your company tonight. I'm so glad you're here. You can always register, even though it's not during a time that you can watch, because I will send you the notes and the link to rewatch. So always do that. So what happens when you get, I'm just going to use the word triggered. A lot of people don't like that word. I am a leader in a recovery program, and a lot of people don't like that word, but it is simply, it's not a scary word. A trigger is simply something somebody else does that sets us into reactive behavior. Okay, so it's like the light switch, and it's almost as automatic as that light switch. Oftentimes, we don't actually think, oh, I think I'm going to get pissed off or at what they just said, and I'm going to react this way. It has been conditioned into what you do. And that's why I have made this very surface level, so that you can actually start to grasp the concepts. Because if we start to go too deep, you're not going to be able to catch it, because these reactions are automatic. As you do the work of identifying your triggers or the things that your partner says or does that makes you go from happy to set off, you're going to start to notice what they do to flip your switch. Okay. I want you to start thinking about it right now. It is anything they say or do. What I want you to know is that it's not going to be a mystery. The things that they do are the things that they do over and over and over again, and maybe not exactly the same. They're the same things that flip your switch. Okay, it might have a different story or tagline to it, but they're the same thing. So we're going to start identifying your triggers. And if you have some paper in front of you, or pull out your notes on your digital device, but it's going to require some practice on your part. You're going to have to start becoming the conscious, aware person, sort of like I like to call this person the watcher. Okay. So it's kind of like you outside of your body. It's a little meta watching this dynamic happen. Okay. It's most likely that you're somewhat unaware of the things they do that set you off until after it's happened. And that's okay. There are the stages of awareness, right? And if you're unfamiliar with the stages of awareness, you can Google on my podcast, Stages of Awareness, and you'll come to the episode that talks about it. But basically, the first stage of awareness is no awareness. So now you're going to start becoming aware of what they do that sets you off. And I shared some basic examples that I will go through. I don't know what they are for you. These are some of the things that clients share with me, some of the things that are my triggers. And then the next stage of awareness is everything happening. You may be getting into the argument, you're falling into the hole of the reactivity. You become aware of it after the fact, but becoming aware of the fact that you have this way of reacting and no shame. Every human being has some sort of reactivity to another human being's actions, the things they do. Okay. So this is all about loving yourself, not beating yourself up, discovering what is going on for you so that you can change it. So some of the things that they might be is often I hear women in particular complaining that their partner wants sex or their spouse or they themselves want sex, but there's no intimacy in between. So it's really like just another thing that they check off the list. It's really hard to be intimately connected in the bedroom or wherever you're having sex if you're not intimately connected outside of that, okay? It's possible to have sex, but it's less intimately connected, all right? In that discussion, that could set you off if a partner says, hey, why aren't we having sex? Them being more engaged with their phone, you can see all the different feeling out of control. So sometimes that is your partner maybe saying something to you or asking something of you, and it sets you in this pattern of needing to lash back because they're maybe pointing something out to you that you didn't see or that you don't want to acknowledge as true. Now, recognizing the things that set you off. This is part of what we do in my Awaken You coaching program. So my clients can start to understand what their reaction is. And then once you start to learn what your trigger is, how you react to it, we start to learn how to self-soothe, how to calm yourself down. And then we learn how to do what we call self-confrontation. So really looking at ourselves and, you know, the word self-confrontation, sometimes people have a negative connotation to that, thinking that they're confronting themselves in a angry way. And that's not it. What you're doing is just looking at yourself and looking at your behavior and examining it, pulling it apart, looking at why you're acting the way you're acting and understanding it, having some compassion for it. All right. So then as you collect these triggers, you want to start observing your go-to reactions. Okay. Because when you start to observe your go-to reactions, what you'll start to notice is you'll be able to start feeling the reaction in your body as it starts to come up. Okay, that automated response. And the three typical types of responses to triggers is to attack, get angry, lash out, defend, to run, avoid, withdraw. And then the third is to people please. Everything's going to be okay. It's okay. I'm sorry. And appease, right? So check. It's possible that in different situations, you use any one of these three, but notice the different situations, the different types of triggers, and how you react to them. And then as you do this process, and don't worry, I'm going to, like I said, at the end, I'm going to give you a process. But as you do this work, I want you to focus on yourself first. But as you start to focus on yourself and you're able to get some distance, some space between your trigger and your reaction, and what I mean by that is you start to notice maybe something that they say that kind of flips you the wrong way, or, you know, let's just say, why are there so many dirty dishes in the sink? And right away, you might flip the switch. Maybe you're even anticipating them saying that when they come home, so you're ready to argue. But as you do this process of becoming aware, you give yourself some space so you know it's going to happen and you know your typical reaction and you let it go. And you then get to watch what happens inside of your body as actually you calm yourself down, you self-soothe. But when you start to get that space, then you can also start to consider and pay attention to when they're set off. And let's just use them coming in and complaining about the dishes in the sink. You can start to think about what might be setting them off, what their typical reaction is to, you know, they're saying they're set off by the dishes in the sink. What is the real underlying problem, which is something we're going to talk about. I love this in this next slide. I love this quote from Gabby Bernstein where she says, my willingness to witness the chaos and to become open to a better path was a prayer. Okay, so the chaos being the chaos that we're creating, the chaos that we're thinking about as somebody else is saying or doing something or not doing something or not saying something. And the chaos that we're creating. And she made that a prayer that she would be willing to witness and watch this chaos that was happening. And that she would be willing and open to a better path. And so I shared that. I love that because it is just being willing to observe and learn instead of observe and beat yourself up. And then we are going to talk about why these reactions happen, why we react, and why is it so hard to change the reaction. This was something that, is something that so many of my clients struggle with. And it was something that I struggled with for so long. Like, why do I do this? I don't want to do this. I see that I'm acting just like my mom. I don't want to do this. All of the things. And the resistance to it is what amplified it. The argument with it is what made it even worse. It drove me deeper into the hole. We have several different operating modes, okay? We have basically two operating modes that we consistently move in and out of, depending upon if somebody rubs us the wrong way, okay? And together with my clients, we will look at their relational circumstances and break down when they moved from one mode to the next. Now, and this can be explained in so many different ways. I'm using a combination of different explanations, but basically we have what we would call our adaptive child. I reference Terry Real here. This is sort of his name of the reactive, triggered, insecure, unsafe, fearful, protective part of you. All right. There is an old hurt part of you that is afraid of what is happening. Okay. In a way that it was afraid a long time ago. It's what a therapist would call your younger child. It's what I call little Chris. You can name it whatever. There's quite a few different versions of little Chris for me, but there is the frightened little Chris. So it could be feeling out of control, like maybe Jeff has brought something up that I wasn't ready for, threw me for a loop, whatever that means, I guess. And I'm feeling out of control. That sends me, though I don't think this process through in my head, that sends me back to a younger version of myself that felt like it had no control and that the world was just like coming down on her. And so there's that part of you, and then it's really your brain automatically remembering past similar situations. Then the other part of you, then you develop this other little warrior part of you that has learned how to protect the young, scared little Chris. Okay. So it's kind of the adaptive part of us is something that we have learned to adapt. And it's like two different versions of ourselves. And there can be multiple different versions in different types of situations. But let's say in this loss of control where she's hiding and she's scared, and then an adaptive strategy that she learned was to fight back. And that fight back could be actually fighting back, or it could be withdrawing, or it could be people pleasing, right? And then that wise, at that time, that was a wise adaptive strategy that works really well. But then as an adult, when we're using those strategies, which are automated, like I said, I'll say it over and over, they're more maladaptive. They end up sort of getting us in a mess. And so this adaptive child part of you is really the part that is reacting to what is happening in the relationship, the part that is protecting that little child from getting hurt, abandoned, told they're not good enough, whatever it is. And this doesn't mean you had to have like some sort of what you might call big T trauma. This can happen to somebody who actually even grows up in a very healthy childhood experience. So Terry Real talks about in his book, he talks about we are either acting as our wise adult, which I will explain in a minute, or we're reenacting childhood trauma through our adaptive child. Okay. So when we're reacting to something, or that trigger that you're going to start identifying, and maybe you already started to identify, when that trigger happens and we react, we are reliving that trauma in the moment. We're re-experiencing it. It's not like we're thinking of it in the moment, but we are. We're acting that way. I'm hoping that this is making sense. And as we go along, interact in the comments if you have questions. Like I said, I can't see them right now, but I will step out of share mode here in a moment. And actually, I am going to step out of share moment right now. So then the wise adult. The wise adult is the part of you that's understanding, that feels comfortable, that feels secure and safe, undamaged, resourced. It is what I love to call your enlightened essence of who you are. That part of you that if everything was rainbows and daisies, that would be the part of you that shows up. Now, it's not that that part can't show up when things aren't rainbows and daisies, when things are dark and mysterious and cloudy. it is that wise adult can show up at all times. So this essential wise adult is wise, loving, and the accepting parental version of ourselves. So it's the mode that operates out of compassion, calmness, clarity, confidence, curiosity, connection, courage, and creativity. Yes, I should have made a slide with those. But you get my gist, right? That's where they operate out of. So now, what happens when we slip into our reactive mode is that our inner child becomes afraid. The protector then whips into action and reacts to take care of that inner child. And often this is where that back and forth of argument and disconnection occurs. So, you know, maybe your partner says something, you react, and then they react to your reaction because they're emotional child shows up, right? And so you're having this emotional child back and forth. But when you can start to observe the actions that flip your switch, then you can start seeing it happen ahead of time, and you can stay in your wise adult. And I'm going to start getting away from where I want to talk today, but the eventual practice will be, because conflict is part of relationships, to think that your relationship will never have conflict is wrong, okay? Because when a relationship isn't having conflict, it almost always is a sign to me that there's a lot of avoidance and a lot of things being pushed, shoved under the rugs, okay? So when you're being open and honest, there will be conflict. The trick is when one partner is flipped, their switch has been flipped on, making sure the other partner stays in wise adult mode. It's when both of you are going at it that disconnection happens. But when one can stay calm, and that doesn't mean that you don't get to air your perspective. It just means while your partner is doing their thing, you allow them to do that. You just take it and absorb it and process it, okay? When you're observing the actions that flip your switch, I want you to think back to when you were younger, if that's possible for you. For some people, that's difficult to do. But if you can, and this is where I help my clients with this, if they haven't done some work on their past, but see if you can identify your response as something similar to a response you developed as a child in an effort to take care of yourself. See if the response looks familiar in a sense that maybe it was something one of your caretakers did, okay? It's something you're modeling now, or it's something you're responding to. So your partner is often, we often marry our parents, one of our parents. And so our partner is often showing up in a way that one of our parents did, and now we're responding to that. Okay. So as we start to get familiar with our triggers, why they're being automatically employed, and start recognizing our go-to reactions, we can start observing and replacing these actions from our enlightened essential self, which is what I call the wise adult. Now, these responses are normal. Okay, so you developed them as a way to cope. And now as an adult, when something happens that triggers that same coping mechanism response, your subconscious mind automatically reacts the way you taught it so well to do. It's like a split second. So that's why you're doing this work of identifying, and trust that you will be able to give it some space. Another tip I want to share with you is that you might not be able to do this work so well with your relationship. To begin with, it might be observing after these reactions happened. Okay. But what you can do, like I said, your intimate relationship causes that protector to be closer to that little child, right? It crouches a little closer to that little child, is more protective, and is ready to lash out because there's more at stake in this relationship, right? And so it's your job to comfort both your little child and their protector. Let them know, hey, they're going to be okay, and that you're going to handle this situation more effectively than they can. But maybe practice on some of your less volatile relationships, people at work, girlfriends, guy friends, people that bother you. Notice how they bother you. Notice how they make you want to react. Notice when somebody cuts you off in traffic or in line at the store, or as you're, you know, scanning the grocery shelves and somebody walks in front of you. Notice the trigger. Okay. So with that, if anybody wants some coaching on a particular situation, please let me know in the comments so I can make space and time for that. Right now, I'm going to share my screen and I'm going to talk about this month's work, how you're going to implement what I just talked about. I kind of ran through it fairly quickly. I tried to stay as surface level as I can so that it's something you can actually do. What I do every month is I share three different steps towards a better relationship with yourself. And as you build a better relationship with yourself in return, oh gosh, Siri is talking. As you build a better relationship with yourself, it kind of triggered a response in me. My heart rate is like, woo, okay. And then in return, as we build that relationship with ourselves, in return, we get a better intimate relationship. So in these master classes, I share three small actionable steps that you can start taking immediately to help you improve first your relationship with yourself, second, your relationship with your spouse, and don't take the simplicity of these steps for granted, because it's in the success of these steps that you create the path to manifesting what you want, all right? So the first one, for those of you who are new to this type of work, it might feel a little weird. The first is a mental or spiritual practice. All of my coaching includes cognitive work, behavioral work, emotional work, and physical work. Okay. So it is a dynamic process, and they all lead to really revitalizing your essence. Okay. So the spiritual practice, what that should include on there, and I will change it before I send out the PDF in the email. But when you wake up, place one hand over your heart, one over your tummy. You can do this before bed to help you go to sleep. You can also do this after a triggered moment. Like if I had been alone and Siri spooked me, I would put my hands, maybe cross them over my heart, one hand on my tummy and one hand on my heart, breathe, and calm myself down. Okay. My response, that is a trauma response right there. So please, with that, don't try to scare your kids intentionally. It's not funny. It actually is a trauma response. Okay. So you'll say, there is more right with me than wrong with me. And then you will say, I will learn from every interaction. I will get through this difficult time. That takes a matter of seconds. That is also going to be very calming if you wake up anxious, which I don't often anymore, but sometimes I do. And that's a practice that I do. Second, physical daily practice. Now, I have changed this up every month. And so this is the 9th different physical practice. And I love this one. It's dancing for a minute. I am not an amazing dancer, but I love this practice. Just move 1 minute. It's amazing how fast it is, but just be a dork, laugh at yourself, have fun with it. Okay. And then the third one is your emotional practice. Okay. And that might be hard for you to read, but I am going to run through it. And like I said, you will get the slide to it. So the emotional practice, I wrote 15 minutes a day. It doesn't even need to take 15 minutes. And 15 minutes is not much time if your marriage is important to you. What you'll do is you can do this in the morning or at night. Typically at night, because you're looking back at your day, you're going to think of an interaction where you reacted in a way that didn't feel all that great to you. And if you can't think of an interaction during the day, I mean, like I could have used that little thing right there with Siri as an interaction. It wasn't with a person, but it was an interaction that spooked me. Okay. And so then I can look at that, and we can also take an interaction that went well. How did that make me feel? Okay. So then you can go through these steps. And the second thing is you close your eyes and you reimagine that interaction. I can easily reimagine Siri's interruption. So what happened? What sent you into being reactive? Okay. Use Siri. It was that abrupt noise that distracted me, that scared me. So then you will also go into your body as your eyes are closed and describe what you felt in your body. You can say this to yourself. You can say it out loud. Describe what you felt before you got triggered, and note that it might feel automatic, like there was no time, but the trigger is how you react. So something happens before that trigger. What was it? Start to separate out that, give that some space. And then what emotion do you think you were feeling before you got triggered? And then, and for that one, it would be scared. And then I could go back to, not that that won't ever happen to me again, but I can identify maybe something that triggered that and then untangle that connection I have to that experience. And then you're going to write about how you responded, why you think you responded that way. Was it a learned response? Most likely. How is it familiar to you? What temporary benefit did it give you? That protector, again, how did it protect you? And then write down what you would like to do next time this trigger happens, this instance that, you know, this thing that this person does. How can you do something different? And some examples would be to calmly observe when you're able to do that, to interrupt the interaction, diffuse the pattern. Now, one of the first times I did this, my partner, my husband said, no, I want to finish this. And I said, I'm sorry. Finishing this right now in the emotional state that I'm in anyway, and the emotional state that you're in, is not going to be productive for either of us. And then right then and there, you can plan time. You know, at a certain point for me, I had to just say, I need to go to a little quiet place, my quiet place that I have set up, and I need to do some processing. I'm not sure when I can come back to this, but I will, we will come back to it. Okay. So this is a powerful practice that helps you shine a light on patterns that have had you living in a false sense of security. Okay. So that reaction falsely makes you feel secure. It kept you secure a long time ago. Doesn't anymore. Now that it's quite likely that you have been spending your whole life avoiding and protecting yourself, against these triggers that you have that you're going to start uncovering. This is big emotional work. I want you to know this. Okay. So when you do this work, make sure you're kind to yourself. Make sure you go slowly. And if you're working with a therapist or a coach, make sure you share the work that you're doing. And I would love to work through this with you as well. You can also book a free coaching session. If you're not working with somebody, you can book a free coaching session with myself. And I will share that in the notes. And it will be, of course, in the email that everybody gets afterwards. Make sure you take care of yourself. All right. So then I also want to suggest, as always, that you check out the How to Process Emotions podcast that I have to help you with this. I want to respond to at least one of the questions that I got. This participant said, "We never get alone times. He never takes me out anywhere. Why?" Okay. A couple things. I want to begin by just saying that I'm sorry that you're not getting alone time with your spouse, right? We want time with our partners. We were married to them. We do actually love them. We might not love them in the moment. We might actually hate them in the moment. And so I can hear how heartbreaking this is, and that the heartbreak is coming from what he is not doing, you know, what he is not taking you out anywhere. He's not asking for alone time. And again, I'm assuming some things here because I don't have a lot of information, but I think the place to start is acknowledging how you feel about these two things that you shared. And instead of being, you know, maybe you are angry about them, but why are you angry at them? And look at what's under that anger. There is the heartbreak. That's what I hear. Maybe there is not heartbreak, but that might not be the initial emotion, right? Maybe anger or resentment is the initial emotion that you're actually feeling. And under that is, you know, sadness or grief, a grief of a relationship that you thought you would have. So what I suggest is that you go to that podcast where you learn, where I teach you how to process emotions. And even if you don't know the emotion, you can do that work and maybe that emotion will come up for you and maybe you'll learn why that emotion is there for you. And then without further information, I can only guess as to why he isn't asking for alone time or suggesting dates. And I don't know, maybe he's also feeling unloved. Could be. It could be that he's afraid and avoiding time alone. Maybe he's afraid that he's going to get reprimanded. I don't know. Often when we're feeling neglected in our relationships, our go-to response is to blame our other partner. And then remember our responses that I talked about earlier, withdraw, avoid. And what we want to do is we want to blame our partner and we want to fix the problem. We want them to see how they're causing the problem. And maybe they are, but from this place of protecting ourselves, like I've talked about here, our fear of being rejected, with that fear, we're pushing them away. So from the information I shared today, I want you to take some time to notice when you're thinking we never get time alone and that he never takes me out. I want you to notice how these thoughts make you feel in the moment and how they might be something that you recognize from maybe even childhood. You know, I keep going back to childhood. Even if you don't see a correlation, I suggest you start noticing when you do have alone time with them. Is it true that you never have alone time with them? Maybe when you go to sleep. Not that that's the best time to strike up a conversation, but maybe it is if there is no other time. Maybe there is a loss of sleep that has to happen to address some things. Or maybe when you're in the car together. I don't really think that in the car is the best time to have a conversation. I think that men, if they're the ones driving, are really focused on where they're going and then not focused on us. And so, and then start thinking of ways that you can create some short time alone. Telling them that you'd love them to join you on a short walk. Or, you know, I'd love to have you join me on a picnic. And then one step further, which will require some courage on your part, is during one of your times alone, see if you can share how much you miss him. Like being open, laying your heart out on the picnic tablecloth and sharing how much you miss him and see what happens. That's what I have for you all today. Our time is up. We're a minute over, and I would love to help any of you who want more help with this, who want to really work on showing up differently in your marriage so that you can change your marriage dynamic. All right, you guys, I love you all. Ciao.
Thank you for listening to the Awaken You podcast. If you enjoyed listening, then you have to go check out Awaken You, my one-on-one coaching program where we take all of this material and we apply it to your life, we study it, and we take it to your next level so that you can awaken you in your marriage. For any questions, comments, or coaching issues you'd like to hear on the podcast, please visit me on my website, and together, let's awaken you.